Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious and holy Lord, how excellent and holy is Thy name. O Lord, I thank Thee for this place. I thank Thee for this place to assemble, the freedom to assemble, the time, Lord, that You have set apart for Thy holy day, a day, Lord, to leave the cares of this world as it pleases You. A day, Lord, for us to be brought away from this world as You would bring us. Lord, I ask now at this hour, the hour to come, that You would take our minds far off ourselves. Take our minds far off the things of this earth. Take our minds far off of the things that will come after this day. And Lord, may You bring us to Thee. Oh Lord, may You, Thy Spirit be poured upon this place today to testify to us, Lord, who Thou art and who we are before Thee. Bless this day, Lord, of worship, to the praise and the glory and honor of Thy name and for Thy name alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It does my soul very good. My heart, my inward man, to think of a Lord who brings me. To think of a Lord who has brought me. It's there this morning that I'd like to focus in on where we will begin, at least, in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. Something is said about this day. Something is said about the communing with the Lord. And in Song of Solomon 2, verse 4, we read, He brought me to a banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. I like to think of a Lord who brings me. Often in this life, I'm reminded by physical things. Things that take place in this life that, because of the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit, He reveals spiritual things out of physical things. This week, as I asked the Lord what it was He would have me to bring, I kept having this thought. I've had this thought for a long time of the Lord bringing me. I love to just sit and think of a bringing Lord. I thought of Him this week as I watched Hannah. As I watched her every day bring this little squirrel to school, for he couldn't walk on his own. She brought him to school. She brought him home. She brought him everywhere he went. For him to get anywhere, he must be brought. And we would think of that as a good example of our insufficiency, of our inability, but it's an imperfect example. Because that little squirrel will grow up, Lord willing, to be an adult squirrel. And if he does, then he will go about his own way. But we're never that way. The people of God are not that way. The people of God never have a time that they're on their own. They continuously need to be brought to the banqueting house. It is the picture of Mephibosheth, who David sent for. And the exact words of David was, "Go and fetch him." For see, he was lame. He was lame on his feet. We have the one who wanted to come to the Lord who was lame on his feet, but he could not come. And it was the faith of others, that Jesus said, that brought him there. It was the faith of others that the Lord commended. And it's the faith of Him that I commend this day. Because truly it is. For us to be brought to the banqueting house, it is out of His love. It is out of His care. It is out of His covenant with us. He sits as the head of this covenant. And everything that we have comes from Him. This week, After that example, the Lord gave me another. When my wife came up lame, she couldn't walk. She had to be brought from one place to another. And once again, I was thrown upon thinking of the Lord and thinking upon my Lord who must bring me to wherever it is I must go. And then in the Lord's perfect providence yesterday, as I was trying to play the part of the father out with the children playing yesterday, I picked up my youngest one. And I tell you now, it's by God's grace that I'm here today. The pain that went down my back, the pain that I still feel now, it shows me that my Lord must bring me. All of these things in the physical realm that we glean and can be shown, things about our Lord, truth about our Lord. But as we're about to see, there's a disclaimer. There is a disclaimer to the people of God. There is a disclaimer to the world who would come in to see what is at this banqueting house. And we're going to go there now. If you turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 2. He brought me to a banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. In 1 Corinthians 2, we see something very important that sets the ground and lays the foundation for the message today. Because the message today is, Lord willing, Spirit willing, we will look at the banqueting house. We will look at what He has prepared for His people. But how can we see it? How can one who is brought to somewhere, who's lame on his feet, who's deaf in his ear, who can't see with his natural eye, how can he see it? And in 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 9, we read, "But as it is written, eye has not seen." Natural eye has never seen and beheld the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor ear heard. Natural ear has never heard. Has never heard spiritually who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Oh, we can sit in here today. We can listen to what is preached. We can listen to the words and the songs. We can follow them along with our natural ears and with our natural eyes and with our natural heart. But nothing, none of those things can affect whether we hear, whether we see, or whether we're blessed by anything. Neither have entered into the heart of man. It's amazing how this starts. It's eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. That's what I want to talk about today. What has He prepared? What has He prepared for us at this banqueting house? Because just to bring us to this banqueting house is nice, but what's in it? What's at the banqueting table? What is it that He gives His children to feed upon? And today I want to talk about five specific things. But as I said, it doesn't really do me good or well to talk about them. It doesn't do well to even read them, as we'll go to passages all over the Word of God today, to see what He has prepared for His people. Because they're not naturally understood. They're not naturally seen. And they're not naturally heard. But God has revealed them, verse 10. Revealed. What kind of word is that? What it simply means is that you sit in ignorance. That you sit with no thought and no understanding to the things of God. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. We can naturally grasp, we can think, and we can ponder on them, and we may even get a smile on our face because of the things that we hear. And we may even try to bring them to ourselves. And we may even say, when we hear these things, that that's a good thought, and I'm going to live upon that thought. But we can't. bless ourselves. And we can't understand. And we can't see. And we can't hear without Him. This blessed third person is the revealer. He is the one that the Father sent and the Son sent to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Comforter. And how about that word, Comforter? What comfort can we get of spiritual things unless the Spirit reveals them? But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. He searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we know that natural man, down in 14, we're told, can't receive them. And they're foolishness to him. Oh, he may assent to them. He may walk from this place, but he lives a contrary life to them. Because they're foolishness. And he can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. Yes, that's our disclaimer this morning. For these things that are prepared for the people of God, they're revealed to the people of God. They're revealed only to the people of God. And only the people of God can understand what these things mean spiritually. They're words we've heard thousands of times. There's things we know, and we'll sit there and go, well, yeah, I know that's one of the things the Lord has done. But to have it truly brought to your soul, to have it truly brought to you, it must be His work. It must be the illuminer. It must be the light giver. So without any more delay, we will go to the first thing. And the first thing that is set for us at this table, that is prepared for us, as Paul said in Corinthians. We have not seen the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. The first thing that He prepares for His people is salvation. Salvation. And oh, once again, it's just one of those things that we hear and we say, yes, that's true, saved. Saved from what? What are you saved from today? What does the Spirit say to you that you're saved from? Are you saved in a perfect deliverance from sin? Because I know we like to say, but the spot remains. And the spot remains, and as long as I'm on this earth, I'm going to sin. But salvation in Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit, says that you have perfect deliverance from that sin. We don't live that way without Him. Quickly, the child of God looks to himself. He says, oh, look how far short I fall of this. But when salvation is applied by the Holy Spirit, he sees his sins taken as far away from the east as to the west. He sees a perfect deliverance from it. But God has revealed them to us. This salvation is what Simeon saw. If you turn with me over to Luke chapter 2. As we begin our journey today, we have a few places to go. And we're going to begin in Luke chapter 2. As Simeon waited all of his life for this consolation, he had waited all of his life for this promised salvation, this promised Savior. And now he comes, and in verse 30 he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Oh, the Arminian loves to run to that and says, oh, look at that. His salvation is prepared for all people. But the people of God know better. The people of God have been taught. The people of God have been shown a particular redemption. And they know when they come to a passage like this that all people, it means all the people that make up. It means bond and free. It means male and female. It means Jew and Gentile. It means one out of every nation, as the Lord would call them. And that is who His people are made up from. And that is who this salvation has been prepared for. Simeon prophesied, and Simeon was given this vision to see that this salvation that would come, this salvation that came down from heaven to man, and came, was in the flesh, now has been prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. It is a perfect salvation, and it's prepared before the foundation of the world. Turn with me now over to 2 Timothy 1. And in 2 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 9, Paul writes, speaking of the Lord, who has saved us. We'll just back up to 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. There's that sovereignty again. And grace. There's that sovereign grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This salvation was given to the people of God before the world ever was. And that's something that we can sit here and try to think. That's why I mean, all of these things are spiritually understood. We can sit here and try to go before nothing. Try to get in our minds and just blacken out our minds, but we still cannot fathom the depth and the mystery of what it was of a council taking place before anything was. Because we understand everything in what we see, and we understand everything in what we've been taught, and we understand everything in these finite minds. But the Lord's mind is infinite. He goes in places that we can't even fathom to go. And we must be brought there. We must be brought to this banqueting house. We must be brought to see this salvation that is prepared before the foundation of the world. And as I said, it's a perfect deliverance from sin. It's a perfect deliverance from the curse of the law. It's a perfect deliverance from self. And it's a perfect deliverance from the world. The world's allurements, the world's people, the world's riches, the world's enticements. There is no necessity or no desire in this salvation. When the Lord Jesus Christ and when God the Father and God the Holy Spirit brings this down to the soul of His children, when He brings this down to the soul of His children, they no longer confer with flesh and blood. They no longer look at this world and say, what does this world have for me? Their eyes are brought to a perfect, finished salvation in Christ to say, Lord, what have You prepared for me? And that's where we're at today. He has prepared His salvation, a perfect salvation. And all of these things, as Satan comes, we're delivered from him. As the allurements come, we're delivered from him. From them. As death would come, we're delivered from the sting of death. As hell's torments would come, as we hear and we read the Word of God and we see how real it is, that on that day, that one day, there will be those that are told, depart from me, I never knew you. And when the child of God hears that, it goes down his spine and goes down into his soul, and he starts to tremble in the fear of the Lord. But there's a perfect deliverance in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because see, this salvation is all prepared by the Father. It is prepared by the Father. It is performed of Christ. And it is applied by the Holy Spirit. The perfect Trinity for a perfect salvation. That is the first thing that I pray the Spirit would teach us today. What are we saved from? At this banqueting house, at this table, the Lord sets before us a get-out-of-jail-free card. A get-out-of-bondage card. A get-out-of-you-are-freed from sin. You are freed from the law, the bondage of the law. You're freed from yourself. And that's a big one. Because self condemns. Self tries in a court that's really not a fair court. Self will never have a righteous judge sitting on it. But there is one who we are justified in. There is one who has cleared us and pronounced us not guilty to the Father. And that brings us to our second point. Our second preparation, so to speak. And that is something we've been talking a lot about lately. And that is the righteousness of Christ. It is righteousness that is set before us at this table. It is a glorious robe of righteousness that is given, that was wrought out in His own perfect obedience. And how important that is. When the Father in the account and parable of the prodigal son said, "Bring hither the best robe and put it on him." Bring hither the best robe and put it on him. I tell you and I ask you, what did the son do? What did he do to deserve that robe? Nothing. In fact, he was wayward. He took all of his inheritance. He squandered all of it. He went the way of the world. He walked in a wretchedness for a long time. He was dead in sins and trespasses. But the Lord had prepared for him a robe. And as the Father brought him back to Him, as He was brought back to Him, how amazing that was, that He just stood up and He said, "Wow, I need to go back to my Father where there's bread." How did that happen? That's the grace of God. That is the Lord, that is our Samaritan meeting us where we are and bringing us back where we need to be, safe and secure in Him. Oh, this robe. This robe is so necessary, because without this wedding garment, without this, there will never be any acceptance from the Father. Cast out the one without the robe. This robe of righteousness was perfectly wrought by Jesus Christ's perfect obedience. This week, I was reading in Psalms, and I was reading how David was asking for the forgiveness of the sins of his youth. And you know, when we read something like that, at least me anyway, I start to think of the sins of my youth or younger days. And then I went to assembly Wednesday, and that was shared by the principal, that same verse. Thought about it again. Thought about it and went home later, and I read something out of one of the books I was reading about Christ's perfect obedience. And the comment was made that His perfect obedience in His youth covered the disobedience of my youth. Oh, what a beautiful thought. What a beautiful thought that the perfect obedience, the righteousness that He wrought out, because I remember my waywardness. I remember the iniquity of my youth. I remember the thoughts that I had toward God. And to know that my Savior, when He was that age, had perfect obedience. And that was wrought for me. And in that perfect obedience, there's a robe made. A robe of His righteousness that will go over me. That will go over me so that that day and now the Father looks down and sees His Son. And sees His Son clothing me in perfect obedience, in perfect righteousness. And how glorious that is. Once again, the Father planned it. The Son performed it. And the Spirit applies it. A perfect righteousness prepared before the foundation of the world. And I don't want to say too much more, because that brings us now to the third point. The third thing that has been prepared. The third thing that is We are brought to this banqueting house to see the third course of the meal, I should say. And it's something I would venture that we don't think too much about, maybe once a month, and that's the body. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. How often do you sit and think and let your thoughts go as the Spirit would lead them to this body of Christ? A body that was not flawed. A body that had no disease. A body that was beautiful. A body that was prepared. A body that was immortal. A body that God had prepared for His Son, that only in the Son's condescension, only in His coming down to meet death, would death affect that body. It is something to behold. It is something to think about. Because the two first points that we talked about, the two preparations, the prepared salvation and the prepared righteousness, both of those were done in this prepared body. Both of those were wrought out in this body. And as the Lord was tempted in this body, and never sinned, it shows us that when we're tempted, we can draw nigh through the Holy Spirit to be succored, to be comforted. Because the same tempter tempts us today. And then we see His body that suffered. And we have all these infirmities and we have our bodies, and that's one of the things I keep being reminded of. Our bodies are breaking down because of sin. But He suffered in this body. And how often my thoughts don't think of this body. And in the perfect obedience that He wrought in this body. And it was prepared. It was prepared. It said it was a body that thou hast prepared for me. It was prepared by the Father, given to the Son to come down. To come down and to meet time. Something that God is so much higher than. But then in the fullness and the perfectness of time, He sent His Son. Perfect, divine, 100% divinity, God meets 100% man, and the two together create 100% divine, 100% man. Blows your mind. Blows your mind. Once again, one of those things that must be spiritually taught. Oh, the mysteries, the table that's set before us has such delectable, delightful items. And there are things that we can't touch, and there's things that we can't partake in without the Holy Spirit. And how rightful that is. And how just that is. Because it's His to give. Everything seems to come back in this precious and holy Word. It comes back to the sovereignty of God. And when we say that God is sovereign in all things, this is truly what we mean. He's sovereign in all things. He's sovereign in the giving of salvation. He's sovereign in the giving of His righteousness. And He's sovereign in bringing this body. And He prepared it for the people of God. He prepared this body, and how comforting that is. Is it comforting to you today that this Lord came down and took on the same flesh that you have? That He walked in the flesh and clothed in the flesh that you have? You say, well, yeah, but He did it without sin. Right, because He's God. But it's that same body. It's that same body that was prepared for us that our sins were put on. That our sins crushed. That our sins were placed upon. That is the body that was prepared. What was it prepared for? To take the sins of His people away. To take the propitiatory wrath, to take the wrath of the Father away for that sin. Those sins that we committed this morning, those sins we committed in the last 5 minutes, those sins that we'll commit when we leave here, those sins that we committed in our youth, and those sins that we commit in our older days. Yes, this body was prepared. Once again, by the Father, performed by the Son, and applied today by the Holy Spirit. Perfect obedience. A body broken but not destroyed. Broken under our sin. These are the things prepared at this table. These are the things prepared at this banqueting house. And there's only one way to commune with them. That is, He brings us there. He brings us there to meet with Him. The fourth thing I would like to talk about that's prepared at this table is honor and glory. Honor and glory. You say, well, wait a minute. Those are things that are reserved for the Lord. True. But they're reserved for His people too. They are reserved for the people in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Oh, blessed words. My prayer is that those in this room, as it pleases Him, will hear these words. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. A kingdom prepared. Where all honor, all glory, all peace, all love, all grace, all righteousness, that's what is prepared. And it's prepared for the people of God, and it's been prepared by the Son, which we'll look at here in just a moment. Here we have, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Such glorious words, because we know the antithesis to those words were, get away from me. The other words that we hope to never hear are down in 41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. Once again, we see sovereignty, and once again, we see nothing in between. We see a sovereign election of sheep and a sovereign election of goats to reprobation. The King shall say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. Now turn over to John 14. It goes hand in hand with this. I love the beginning of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. to hear those words of Christ, to hear those words applied, to hear those words taught. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You want to know what's in this banqueting house? It's salvation. It's righteousness. It's a body. And now it's glory. It's honor and glory. He has gone to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See, all honor and glory is in Him. And He's going to prepare a place for His people. A place for us to live eternally in Him, with Him. Where I am, there ye may be also. All glory, all honor that goes to our King. He has laid up for us the same honor and glory. He has laid up for us. He has went away to prepare that, has prepared that. And now we're awaiting that final day, that day to be taken away from all of these things that so easily beset us and that take us from communing with Him. Could you imagine a place? Could you imagine a time? Could you imagine life without broken communion? That would be heaven. And finally, the last thing prepared at this banqueting house that we'll look at today. And you may think it's out of place, but it's certainly not. And that is good works. You say, wow. But how else could we define good works? Except for being prepared good works for a prepared people. See, they're not ours either. Although many would like to lay hold, and many would like to begin their sentences and what they say about who they are with I, the child of God is brought low. The child of God is seen, is shown that it's all of Him. We go to Ephesians 2, where we see this precious truth. My soul does really rejoice in a preparing and performing God. It really sits at rest when I see in the Holy Word, when the Holy Scriptures come alive through the Holy Spirit, and He shows me what He's done, and He shows me the performance of those things. And then He shows me rest. We find that in Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, that's what life in Christ Jesus is. And we say, well, how does this work? Well, He tells us here. Which God hath ordained, which the word there means prepared, by the way. Which God hath before prepared or ordained that we should do what? Do them? That we should do what? Perform them? That we should work them out? That we should list them? That we should... No. That we should walk in them. You know what that means? It means they've already been prepared. It means they've already been performed. And we're to walk after the shepherd who went before us and performed them. That, dear ones, is life. I know it's hard. I know it's hard anytime our natural man comes up against those words that he has done it all. And we want to mix whatever it is we have to do with it. And we want to mix our power. And we want to mix what it is that we're called to do. but not at this banqueting house. For He brings us there. He performs that which needs to be performed. And He's prepared that which He sets before us. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me is love. I would ask if you've been brought there, but I think I'll pray that the Lord shows you. May the Holy Spirit this day illuminate, open our eyes, open these eyes that see natural things. Open these ears that hear natural things. And Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the spiritual beauties of Thy salvation, Thy righteousness, Thy body, Thy honor and glory, and Thy good works that You have set before us as You bring us to them at this banqueting house. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious Lord, may You add Your blessing to these words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.